Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Apostle is on assignment this morning, taking care of business, apostolic business at World Shakers in Baton Rouge. We know how important that is. And so this morning, I want to use this morning, and with him taking care of apostolic business, to mature us into apostolic business. I told you to turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and the 11th verse. God is wonderful. Yes. Let's make this personal. God has been wonderful to me. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 11th verse. And he, meaning Jesus, we know it's Jesus because you can go into the 7th, 8th, and 9th, and 10th verse and see ain't nobody else ascended below and ascended on high but Jesus. So this is Jesus, and he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers for a reason. Verse 12. And it's in chronological order. We're going to deal with the first one this morning. For the perfecting of the saints, or the maturing of the saints. Now, I not only read the Bible, but I not only read it, but I want to understand the history behind the Bible. For some of you who really never heard this word, apologetics. Apologetics is just the study of how the Bible came to be. And it's historians that come together to show that how the Bible was put together and how we got the King James Version of today. And in studying apologetics, I realized something about this particular verse in this particular book, in this particular chapter. This is Paul writing, right? Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon, and Romans. He wrote those books, right? But what I learned about this particular book was that Paul wrote this particular book from jail. Now, that caused me to realize that if Paul wrote this particular book from jail, that means he was not present with the Ephesians. That means that when Paul wrote this particular epistle or letter or book from jail, sent it to the Ephesians, there must have been a level of maturity in the place for them to receive it and put it into practice. Let me define maturity for you. Maturity is doing what you were taught by a leader without them looking. All right, let's bring it home to us personally. It's good to see you, Terry. Good to see you. Let's bring it home to us personally. All of us have gone through this. We all of us, if you're in here right now and you are looking around, that means you were once a child that have grown into adulthood. You've gone through what was called a maturation process of maturity, right? If you remember your parents, your guardians, those that were looking after you, they would give you certain responsibilities. And when they gave you certain responsibilities, it was a test to see if you could handle other responsibilities. Because if you couldn't do what they were saying while they weren't there, then they know they had to be there to watch it to make sure you do it until you learn to do it, learn to do it when they weren't there. Case in point, driver's license. All of us went through getting who do driver's license. We had to have somebody be there with us to teach us how to drive. But after a while, they weren't there anymore because they had taught us what they knew. So we were able to execute it without them being there. Are you seeing this? We as Word of Life Christian Centurions and I'm saying we do have some of those in here, but I want to bring everybody up to this level of maturity. That we're able to do what Apostle was asking us to do without him having to look over our shoulders. Without him having to remind us of what we called to do. Are you seeing this? He said he gave some apostles, some pastors, some teachers, some prophets, some pastors for the perfecting of the saints. The maturing of the saints. Why? For the work of the what? Oh, wait a minute. The perfecting of the saints. This is the 21st century body of Christ. Listen to me now. 21st century body of Christ. This is for the perfecting of the saints, for the solving of our problems. Because a lot of people go to church to mature to solve their problem. If I can hear a word that will solve my problem, if I can hear from God to solve what I'm going through. But that ain't what the Apostle Paul said from prison to people who were mature. The Apostle Paul said, it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, watch this, for the edifying of the building of the body of Christ. So building must mean there's adding being done. You can never build something unless something is added. Whenever you bodybuilding, Calvin. When you're bodybuilding, you're adding muscle. You're building. So that means the church is going to be added to because we're maturing and we're being prepared for the work of the ministry. What it means, the work of the ministry, it simply means that wherever I am, Christ is the center. Go to Galatians 2. Very familiar scripture. I want you to mature this morning. Because in order for us to reach the destiny that God has designed for us, we have to allow Apostle to reach his destiny. Hold your fingers in Galatians 2:20. That's what I told you, right? Go to Galatians 6. Verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. It says, God is not mocked, right? For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We at Water Life Christian Center must get to a level of maturity where we sow our pastor and allow him to be an apostle. Come on, I need you to grow with me. In order for that to happen, that means that I come toward a life in a mature fashion. Watch this. How do I mature? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go back to Galatians 2. How do I mature? Give you a couple examples of how you mature. It's very simple to mature. It's very simple to mature, but Satan makes it hard. All right. It's simple to mature, but he makes it hard. This is why apostles have been dealing with the soul. Yes. In particular, your heart, your soul, your ability to make decisions, understanding where Satan is trying to trip us up in our memory, in our imagination, in our feelings, in our intellect, how he tries to trip us up because all those things feed into our will. Our will is what makes us say yes and makes us say no. Our will is what makes us do things and makes us not do things. So to mature is going to have to be a decision on your part. It's going to be you willing to mature. Once now, here's the thing I love about God, and here's what I love about the word grace. When you make your decision and when you decide and when your will is going a certain direction, especially towards the kingdom of God, his grace comes in to empower you to do it. Galatians 2:20. Let's look at this scripture from an apostolic point of view. Paul is writing this. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm going to change a word because in the Greek, this particular word means what I'm about to say. I live through the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live through. So that means my life here on earth is for the sole purpose of living through Christ. So that means whatever purpose Christ was here for, that's why I'm here. So you ain't got to be asking why I'm here no more. You ain't got to be asking what's the meaning of life. The meaning of life is me living through Christ. Whatever Christ represented on earth, I represent. Whatever Christ wanted to get accomplished on earth, I want to get accomplished. Are you seeing this? And yet, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4 that he gave gifts unto men for the perfecting of the saints. So if I'm going to live through Christ, that means that I must come to a level of maturity to where I can be trusted to do what God has called us to do, whether apostle is here or not. Let me be prophetic for a moment. The apostolic, the government of God, God's divine order, is a modern day ark. It's a modern day ark. If you know in the Bible, the reference is Noah and the ark. We know that Noah and his three sons built the ark. They built the ark to the saving of their souls, the Bible says. Now, the reason why God wanted Noah to build that ark is because God was going to flood the earth to rid the earth of all the craziness and filthiness and all this foolishness that was going on in the earth at the time. There was one door on the ark. There wasn't many entrances. One door. And only God could open or shut that door. Today's ark is the apostolic. God opened the door on Calvary. When Jesus died on the cross, he opened the door for us to be able to be in his divine order. But here's the issue. Noah by himself didn't build an ark. Come on now, I need you to mature. It was Noah, his three sons, and their wives, and Noah's wife that built the ark. Who received the instructions? Noah received the instructions. Noah received the instructions, relayed the instructions, but it was Noah, his wife, three sons, and their wives that built the ark. We are going to have to build this ark. Apostle received the instructions, we mature and take care of our part to help build this ark. That's why it must be a perfecting of the saints, a maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Other words, we set the tone to this house so when others are drawn in, they can fall in line and know what's supposed to be done and what's not supposed to be done. The Lord spoke to me about a week ago. Because I'm a very nice person. I don't want to offend anybody. I do my best not to offend anybody. I will go on my way not to offend people. But there are times when you will be accused of being uncompassionate when you disagree with someone. Listen, maturity takes place when you refuse to conform to this world. I'm always being transformed. I'm never conforming. Just because I don't agree with your sin don't mean I won't agree with you coming out of sin. We in the body of Christ has to come to a level of maturity where we're not afraid to offend sin. In order to offend sin, sometimes people are going to get offended. I'm not going to condone your sin. I'm not going to say it's okay until after we realize what was done wrong. See, because the ark was built to the saving of their souls. So as we build this apostolic ark, people come through this door, we got to be compassionate, but we can't compromise. Is this making sense? If we don't set the tone, talking about you. We have to set the tone. We have to set the level of maturity in the house so that when others come in, they know there's something different. When we set the level of the house, when a person walk into this atmosphere, let me be more specific. When a person walk into your atmosphere, not only here at the church, but when you walk on your job, when they walk into your atmosphere, sin get nervous. They get fidgety. They get uncomfortable. They don't get comfortable. I don't really get invited to family reunions too much. We don't get invited to family reunions too much no more. We don't. I know they have them, but we don't get invited. Because there's certain things we're going to do, certain things we're not going to do. And the certain things that they want to do that they know we're not going to do, they get uncomfortable doing it in front of us. And I ain't saying nothing to nobody, and I ain't judged nobody. Because really, to be honest, I'm comfortable within my Christian self that I can be around sin and not be affected. But it ain't my fault that when I get around you, you get nervous. It's supposed to happen that way. That's the edifying of the body. In order to build anything, sometimes there's some pressure that has to be applied. There has to be some tearing down in order for it to repair itself and be stronger. We have to mature. Paul wrote Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians from jail. That means Paul wrote that in captivity and sent the message to a group of people who mature enough to embrace it and follow through with it. Go with me to the book of Jonah. Usually we go to this book because we're going to read about the whale. Well. But I'm going to show you maturity in this particular book. I want to show you the love of God in this particular book. Look at your neighbor and say, I must mature. Now, if you're already mature, that don't mean that you got to mature some more. There's another level you can go in God. If my apostle, if I can sit and watch my apostle keep growing in God, then I must know I need to keep growing in God. If my apostle can make shifts, I can make shifts. Jonah, the second chapter. I don't have time to read this whole chapter. It's about 10 verses, but you can read it on your own time, and I encourage you to do it because you'll see in this second chapter how to mature. How I know this is a level of maturity. How I know this chapter is a chapter of maturity. Because you see what happened in the first chapter and what happened in the third chapter, and you knew something had to happen to Jonah. Make a long story short, the first chapter, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. We all know the story. He ran from the presence of God. I think he went to Joppa. I think he went to run from the presence of God, I think. And he ran from the presence of God. And so he got on his ship. Ship started rocking and reeling because a storm came up. They cast lots. They gambled. Lot lost. They gambled and Lot lost. God made sure he lost that. They threw him over the board. Say, God made a whale, big fish, to swallow him up. You say, oh, why would God do that? To protect him. That's the love of God. To protect him. Because he couldn't drink all that water. The second chapter is him inside the belly of the whale. And he begins to cry out to God. He began to cry out to God. I said he began to cry out to God. Look at verse 7. He said, when my soul did what? Or got weak, lost hope within me, what he did? And my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy. Watch verse 8. That they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. When you begin to assume the position of the world system, you forsake your own mercy. When we become immature and don't call sin sin. I'm not even talking about us being in sin. I'm talking about us standing for righteousness. Yeah. Talking about maturity. When we don't do that, we fall for these lying vanities. Case in point. I just learned about a week ago that in Germany, how many know TED Talks? Anybody know TED Talks? TED Talks, those of you who know what TED Talks is organization that's built on public speaking. And they allow different lectures, right? They just allowed a lecture in which somebody was trying to make a case for pedophilia. Trying to make a case for pedophilia. We have to build this ark. So that people who want to be saved can run into it. That means you and I have to mature. That means, watch this, go to Matthew the 11th chapter. That means you and I cannot become entangled with just our own issues. Matter of fact, it's a trick of the enemy for us to be just entertained with our own issues. Because when we're entertained with just our own issues, that means their issues are becoming bigger. What you focus on expands. When we become entertained with our own issues, that means we can't hear the voice of God when he's trying to get us to do something for him. Because our ears, our minds, our hearts are focused on hearing the word of God to solve our problems. Jonah, you go into Matthew 11 chapter. Jonah just was talking to God and telling God, God, look, I'm down here in this pit. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. He wasn't even focused about being in the belly of the whale. He was already there. But he needed a way out. And he knew his way out wasn't focused on being in the belly of the whale. Come on, y'all catch this. He knew his way out wasn't him focusing on being in the belly of the whale. He was already there. He was already there. There was nothing he could do. But the Bible says when his soul fainted, he did what? Remembered, verse 7, remembered the Lord. You may be going through some things this morning. You may have some problems that you don't have no answer to. You might even come to church this morning hoping God give you an answer directly to your situation. But what you come to church to find out is, how do I mature to help fulfill what God? Because remember now, the life that I now live in Christ, I'm living through. So it's not about what I'm going through. It's about what I'm living through. I hope you heard that. It's not about what I'm going through. It's about what I'm living through. So that means the issues that I'm going through personally, focusing on them, trying to rack my mind on how I need to solve these things, ain't going to make them be solved. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Now, apostle is not on the clock, but I'm on the clock. How long have I been preaching? 25, thank you, sir. Yeah, he may not be on the clock, but I'm on the clock. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Are y'all hearing me this morning? There are going to be times we're going to have to let apostle go do what he's called to do and still show up to church, because whoever he places here is going to have a word for you to help you mature. And those of you that are mature need to show up to help the person who's trying to preach the word. Remember now, we're in this together. We're not in this by ourselves. When we show up here, there's an anointing, there's a grace, there's a power that cannot be gotten anywhere else. You can be by yourself with God, but it's much better to be with God when two or three are gathered where? In his name. I hope you hear me this morning. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Verse 28, very familiar scripture. Jesus is talking. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor, that work. That's overworked. Trying to solve your problems. Facing situations that you were designed to face. See, there are two types of problems. There are problems that we were designed to face and problems that we create. There are things that we were designed to face because we were equipped to overcome them. But then we add to it when we began to create problems of our own. So now we got to deal with our problems and the problems we were designed to face. So that's what caused us to be overworked. Because the Bible never said we weren't going to have to face situations, because the Bible also said we have to work out our own, work out our own salvation. So that means, I think it was Peter. Peter said, show me your faith without works, and I'm going to show you faith by my works. So there are going to be some things that we're going to face, do, and overcome. But what complicated is when we add to the issue by some decision that we made. So here is Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and what he would do? I give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what?
Rest.
Unto your
soul.
For my yoke is
easy,
and my burden
is light.
So I need to get to a point where I eliminate all self-inflicted problems. So I can just face the problems that I was designed to face. Because when I design just the problems that I face, it's gonna be easy. It's gonna be light. How do I put myself in a position to where I'm only facing the issue that I was designed to face? Romans 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Romans 12. We're going to connect this real quick, and I'm almost finished. Romans, the 12th chapter. Watch this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. He's a comforter. He'll lead you. How do I eliminate the self-inflicted problems so I can just face the problems that I was designed to face? Because, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So it means God has thought your life out and has made a pathway for you. And that pathway don't mean there wasn't going to be any mountains, any trees, that didn't have no fruit on them. Didn't mean it wasn't going to be no valleys that maybe had a shadow of death in them. But he's going to be with us throughout all of them. Because Mark tells us how to deal with the mountains. Psalm 23 tells us how to deal with the valley of the shadow of death. Yes. We'll fear no evil. Yes. Are you seeing me? Yes. God is always with us. Yes. So what do I do? Romans 12, verse 1. This is Apostle Paul writing again. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. Now, here's the funny thing. Most sacrifices I've known has been dead. So what is being sacrificed here? What's being sacrificed here is my will overriding the will of God for my life. That means I choose to present my body. God, everyday language, here it is. God, here I am. Do what you want to do with me. I'm not, watch this. God, I'm not concerned about my passions. God, I'm not concerned about what I like. God, I'm not even concerned about what I feel like doing. God, here I am. Use me like you want. On my job, God, use me like you want. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least you can do. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind, taking the word of God. Let me interject the scripture here. By the renewing of your mind, Ephesians 4, verse 11. See, some of y'all thought it was just the written word of God. It's just not the written word of God that's going to renew your mind. It's also the word spoken by whom God has sent. So if I want to mature, I'm going to have to read the word of God and listen to who God has sent me to. Okay. We out there now, because he said, oh, it's the word of God and go to Joshua. This principle is not It's not nothing new. And he gave, Jesus gave. Why would Jesus give us something only for us to ignore? Why would Jesus give us a gift and tell us the purpose of the gift? The purpose of the gift is for the perfecting of the, or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building of the body of Christ. Now, he's not going to give us a gift. He said he gave gifts unto men. He didn't give us gifts and then go some other route. We have to build this ark. We have to build it. Noah received the instructions. But Noah couldn't chase his three sons around all day wanting to know if they're doing what they were supposed to be doing. Because he himself had an assignment to help build the ark. So when Noah was doing what he was supposed to be doing, his three sons had to be doing what they were supposed to be doing. We are the three sons. We got to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. Well, I told you to turn. Joshua 1. Verse 6. Verse 5. There shall not be any man be able to stand with before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. For I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. This is God talking to Joshua. He's telling Joshua, I'm going to be with you like I'm with Moses. God is telling us every Sunday, he's giving us examples every Sunday, that he will be with us as he's with Apostle. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Verse 8, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Whoa, wait a minute here. I'm face to face with God. And God is telling me to do what Moses said do. God, why you ain't telling me? We talking face to face. Why are you not telling me what you want me to do? We face to face. You sit here telling me do what Moses. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. That thou mayest what?
Prosper.
That thou mayest what?
Prosper.
That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, this book of the law that Moses gave, God is telling Joshua, you follow that. Is this making sense? He said, don't turn from the left or don't turn from the right. So then you're going to make your way prosperous, right? He gave gifts unto men for the perfecting of the saints. Look at verse, don't have to go there, but think about the second one. For the what? For the work of the ministry, right? For the edifying of the body of Christ. So here it is, God is telling Joshua, do what Moses commanded y'all to do. Yes, don't turn left or to the right. Then you're going to be prosperous. You're going to be prosperous wherever you go. So that lets me know that when we come toward a life and we open our minds, our hearts, and our spirits to whom God has sent to us, that means that he's going to be maturing us, right? Preparing us for the work of the ministry, for the building of the body of Christ, then everything we do gonna prosper. So it's in that chronological order. So now if that's in chronological order and that's what how God set it up, then I can't be going to my job to get paid. That's the world system. I live in this world. It may look like I'm doing some of the same things that they're doing, but I'm really undercover. I may be working in the cubicle right next to my sister, or to my brother, or to my coworker, or my friend. We may be doing the same task, but we're not doing it for the same reason. It's when that shift in thinking takes place, that's when God can begin to trust you to give you more so you can have more. That's when God will begin to trust you that he'll give you answers to solve your personal issues. Because he knows that when you get rid of that personal issue, that you're going to just spend more energy trying to do what he asked you to do. You will consume his power on your personal lust. Extreme case, very extreme case, very, very extreme case is Acts the 5th chapter. People don't realize what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Everybody jump on the dying part and how they dropped dead, but people don't ask why. You go back and read that the reason why that happened is because they first committed to doing something. They committed to giving to a certain cause. When they committed to giving to a certain cause, God got involved with the process. And so whatever land they had sold for more than they thought it was supposed to sell. It sold more than their appraised value. So all of a sudden, when God got in and caused it to sell for more than appraised value, when they got to the church, they reneged. They reneged. When they reneged, that's when Peter said, "You ain't lying to me, you're lying to the Holy Ghost." That's why God is preserving a lot of us. By allowing us to stay in certain situations until we turn our attention towards him. When you turn your attention toward him and say, Jerome is 12:1. I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice. Do with me what you want to do. I'm not going to get out of this situation and then do what I want to do. I'm going to get out of this situation and do what you want me to do. Take the issue of Jonah, talking about maturity. Jonah didn't get out the belly of the whale and went back to Joppa. He got out the bed of the well, and God spoke to him again and said, "Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh." Jonah said, "I'm on my way." How quick did he get there? A lot of situations that we're in and we can't seem to be getting out of, stuff that we're looking for answers for, stuff that we're trying to get solutions to, and we can't get them, is because God knows if I give this person this answer, they're going to get themselves in a deeper hole that they really can't get out of. So I'm going to use this to mature them to turn toward me and say, "God, use me like you want to use me." Are you seeing this? So he was telling Joshua to do what Moses said do. Go to verse 8. Watch this. Very familiar scripture. Because, once again, I'm going to give you the apostolic understanding of the scripture, just not the religious understanding. The religious understanding of the scripture is what this scripture can do for me. But the apostolic understanding of the scripture is what this scripture can help me do for God. Verse 8. This book. Very specific book. This book. What book he talking about? The book that he talked about in the 7th verse. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make that way prosperous. Then thou shalt make that way prosperous. Then thou shalt make that way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success." So it seems to me that if I shift my focus from how I can survive in this earth to how I can be used by God in this earth, when I shift my focus, maturity takes place. When I shift my focus, When I shift my focus, when I change why I go to work. Because when you change why you go to work, the whole atmosphere at your job is going to change. A lot of y'all don't know you bring your atmosphere with you. So you get up in the morning hating the people on the job. When you go to your place of influence that God had, first of all, God gave you the job. He opened the door for you to be there. So if he opened the door for you to be there, then and you, instead of you looking at the job that you own, hating it, say, God, why you got me here? See, go to Luke the 16th chapter. We have to build this ark. I'm showing you how we build this ark. We build this ark from maturity, from becoming mature and being able to do what we're taught without the leader having to look over our shoulder. How many of y'all get up in the morning? I know some of you don't raise your hands. How many of you get up in the morning and say, God, send me the person today? Yes, sir. Oh, come on now. Yes, you get up in the morning and say, God, run that person across my path. And not only run the person across my path, God, because I remember I had to ask God for this. I would ask God to run the person across my path. Then the person would run across my path, and God said, that was him. That was her. I said, oh, man. So now what I got smart. Because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. You ask amiss. Want to consume it on your own lust. So now I get up in the morning and say, God, run that person across my pathway. Now you, Holy Spirit, alert me to it. Holy Spirit, remind me. Don't let this person pass by me. So now God's sending them. The Holy Spirit reminded me. Because I'll be going and God said, that was your opportunity. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I missed that one. So now, didn't he say the Holy Spirit is a what? A helper? Holy Spirit, help me recognize. So you have to use the tools that you've been given. The same Holy Spirit that you're asking to help you get out your problem? It's the same Holy Spirit you're going to ask, Holy Spirit, remind me of who this person is. Alert me to this person. Let me know who it is. Now watch this. You do not have to be a Bible philosopher to share Christ. You don't have to be a Bible philosopher to lay hands on somebody. Jesus never said that you had to know all the books of the Bible before you use his name. He said, whatever you ask in my name. He said in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will. Now, wait a minute. That's a play on words. Because if his word abide in me and I abide in him, that means some wills have to submit. That means now when I'm going to him, I'm not going to him asking him for what I want. I'm going to asking him for what he wants. When I ask for what he wants, I know what he wants. Then I can execute what he wants. When I execute what he wants, he can add all these things to me. I'm talking about maturity. We have to build this ark. This apostolic ark, this modern day ark, we have to build it. We are the ones that, and watch this. This ark ain't going to be no wood. God ain't flooding the earth no more. He promised he wasn't going to do that no more. So don't be looking for no rain, no water, no flood. Don't y'all think that we trying to build no ark with all these floods had around. That ain't what this is about. This is a supernatural ark that cannot be seen with eyes. This is an ark that people can run into and they are saved. But Noah did not build that ark by himself. I need you to see this. Noah did not build this ark by himself. Right now, this morning, what we're doing is we're building an ark. Apostle is building an ark. He's at World Shakers handling his business, his apostolic business. We're here handling our apostolic business. And whether you know it or not, your life changed this morning. Some of y'all got some answers this morning that's going to help. You're going to go to work, I promise you. You're going to work tomorrow morning, and if you got to pray all night to change your attitude, do it. If you got to pray all night to change your attitude, and then what you need to do is put the picture of the person you hate the most at your job and sit there and pray in the Holy Spirit. And let God change you toward that person. And I promise you, you get there tomorrow morning, it's going to be a different atmosphere because your focus has changed. You're not going there trying to get paid. You're going there because that's where God has placed you for the work of the ministry. For the building of the body of Christ. You have to change. Look, I told you to go to Luke 16. Watch this. And I'm closing here. How many minutes? Yes, sir. Perfect. Luke 16, we're closing here. Luke 16, verse 10. This is the law of promotion. This is Jesus talking. This is the law of promotion. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If ye therefore have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit your trust to true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? God is simply saying, if I can't get you to help me build his ark, I know I can't trust you to give you your own stuff, because you ain't gonna ever show up to build ark. Remember now, my purpose for being here is to live through Christ. So if I'm living through anything else, God doesn't have to back me up. Man, people talk about why God seems like he's not a loving God. God is a loving God. It's just our choices make us walk from. See, people got God all wrong. God has rules. So grace is not without rules. It's just when man gets involved and starts trying to create his rules. God has rules. If God didn't have no rules, then Adam and Eve would still be in the garden. God told him, this is why Adam and Eve really got put out the garden. They got put out the garden for this simple reason. Because they wanted to decide within themselves what was right and what was wrong. That's the problem we have today. Man wants to decide within himself what's right and what's wrong. That's why 50 years ago, homosexuality was something that everybody was like, no, that's sin. Now, over time, man had decided within himself, we want to decide that we think that it's okay. So now if you're going to decide within your, we without Christ are inherently evil. If you're going to decide within yourself what is right and wrong, then God don't have to back you up. He didn't back Adam and Eve up. So why do you think he gonna back you up? This is why Romans 12 and 1 is important. I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God, do with me what you want to do with me. So now he gave gifts unto men. Why? To shape our thought process. If you read further on that fourth chapter of Ephesians, you'll begin to see how Paul began to talk about the vanities of people who are going after the vanities of their own mind. That's the purpose of the fivefold ministry, so that we won't go after the vanities of our own mind. So that we'll have some foundation that we can stand on that will give us the ability to mature. I don't care how my body feels. I'm deciding I'm not doing this. That's maturity. Why? Because Romans 12 and 2. I'm not conforming to this world. I'm being transformed. So that I can recognize, that's the word prove, recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you hearing me? Stand to your feet.